الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي. صدق الله العظيم. We all must be regular with our duas for Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Palestine, the for people of Palestine, all the oppression which is taking place. We must be part of the Ummah. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, if any part of the Ummah, any part of a body has got any pain, the whole body responds to it and is affected by it. So any part of the Ummah, whether it's Palestine, Afghanistan, Herat, the earthquake, and whatever else is happening, and unfortunately most of us, we only are affected by the material things. All this bombarding, they haven't got food, they haven't got electricity, they haven't got water, but the vast majority of the Ummah is lacking of namaz, deficiency in iman, that must also affect us. And that is a major catastrophe, that is a major problem, that we are far from deen, there is a namaz in the ummah, that should also affect us, that we don't find rest, like just a small toe has got a pain, you are awake the whole night, it's paining, and you are turning sides, and what you are taking this medicine, you're trying to do that, for one superficial outward thing of dunya, and the real thing which is forever, that is akhirat, our deen. Unfortunately, we don't have that feeling. And so Allah Ta'ala give us, we must be concerned. And also with regard to this, the condition, many of us are such also that we will say that the Palestinians, etc., because of their sins, their gunas, they brought it upon themselves. On one occasion, a young person was drowning in a river. An elderly man was passing by, so he screamed for help. So the elder man told him that, why are you swimming here? Now you are drowning. If you don't know how to swim, why you got in the water? And why are you swimming where there are no lifesavers around? So the boy said, uncle, first save me, after that you can give me a lecture. But if you are, I'm going to drown now, so first save me. So we also, whatever the condition, first save the ummah, then we can give all our lectures. And then we can tell them to correct themselves, but first save the ummah. So Allah give us tawfiq that we understand, we get our priorities right. Our deen is first, and then is dunya. But unfortunately for us, it's only dunya. And that is the way the Quran Sharif says, of the kuffar, of the non-believers. For them, only dunya is in front of them. But living with them, being influenced by them, by the schooling, living around them, today with the internet, all sides, on the phone all the time, we are fully influenced by them. Who of us thinks that our great problem, one student, murid, told his ustad, Allama Suyuti Rahmatullahi, that though we are so sinful, we are drowning in sin, and we are drowning in unthankfulness, nashukri, but still Allah Ta'ala gives us so much of His favors. We are eating, we are sleeping, we are having our food, we are healthy. So many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. So the ustad told him, my son, you are still very immature, and that you regard that we are still in all the favors of Allah, whereas actually we are in the azab of Allah, and worse azab that we don't even realize that we are in azab. And worse than that, that azab we are regarding as a favor of Allah. To regard the azab of Allah as a favor of Allah. And then he said that we not regular with namaz. Isn't that a big azab? Allah Ta'ala, it comes in one hadith, Allah Ta'ala gives dunya to whom He loves and whom He doesn't love also. Even the enemies, and they so much of dunya Allah has given them. And who He loves, He also gives. But deen, Allah only gives to whom He loves. And those are the real favors of Allah, the favors of deen. And whom Allah loves, Allah gives them iman. And so a person that we don't, our iman is so weak, that is an azab. Whom Allah loves, He will give him that strong iman. Whom Allah loves, his namazes will be in order. Whom Allah loves, tahajjud will be a joy for him. And with the day he has to miss his tahajjud, it will be a great sorrow for him. But for us today, we hardly think of tahajjud. When last did we, or whenever did we shed one tear drop the size of the fly of a head in the fear of Allah or in the love of Allah? Whom Allah loves, tears flow from their eyes. The Quran Sharif says that a person thinks my heart is hard, so the tears are not flowing. Allah says, don't you see from rocks rivers flow? Big, big rivers come out from rocks. So why is it that from our eyes not even a teardrop comes? Not the water of this dunya, and that rivers will fulfill the need of so many people dunya-wise. It will irrigate their crops, give them drinking water. For the cleaning purposes the water will be used. But the tears of the eyes will purify our souls, will make our souls shine, will make us beloved to Allah. So that is the thing that we should have, the love of Allah. So we should have that fear. So all these ni'mats, the real ni'mats are not this dunya thing. That the kuffar are also part of it. But the real ni'mat are the ni'mats of deen. That a person, Allah gives him tawfiq of nawafil. Think of us, how many nafils we haven't made. There may be so many of us who never made Ishraq namaz. And Chash namaz, very few of us perhaps have made Chash namaz. And Chash, 2 to 12 rakats. Any one of us think, did I ever make 12 rakats of Chash namaz? But not even perhaps 2, or maybe 2. Whom Allah loves, He gives them all this tawfiq. What tasbih are we reading? Our Yasin Sharif, is it in place? Our tilawat of Quran Sharif daily. How much are we making tilawat? And if we are making, how many of us take it as a due, as a burden? How many of us take it as a duty? And how many of us take it as a joy to make Quran Sharif? Whom Allah loves, Allah will put in His love, in His heart, the yearning of reading Quran Sharif. And when he reads, the love of it will be there. He will be overwhelmed by it. His own reading also. And when somebody else reads, and somebody reads so beautifully, then he will be just overtaken with that. Just like a person making tawaf, he's making his du'as and he's enjoying. He's out of this world. He's in a different world. But when he hears the du'as of somebody else, and they overwhelm him, he forgets his own du'as, and he just listens to those du'as, and his lips don't move also. In his heart, Ameen, Ameen. What beautiful du'as people make. So those are the real values. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with them. Amen. So we must have feeling for the whole ummah. And the greater feeling is for the deen of the ummah. And for mankind. We are part of mankind. We are all insan. And insan is from uns, that is, you relate to one another. But all human beings, kuffar who haven't got iman, does it worry us in the least? But did I ever make dua, Ya Allah, give all the people iman? We should be having that. If we are human beings and they are human beings, we should have that feeling. Allah, give them iman. Save them from all kufr, shirk, etc. So Allah, give us tawfiq to make dua. Very, very important. And dua also is not just by the way. Or many of us, we say make dua, we say we are making dua. How long I'm making dua? But in actual fact, we're making no dua. We are just saying I'm making dua. How many of us ask us for duas also? And then do we make duas? Do we, for who? And let us think that in my 24 hours, have I got a 1 minute slot for dua? After for women at home, they also pick up their hands, they make dua. But is it dua or is it just a formality? For us as men, we know that when the imam makes dua after namaz, the imam himself also. Is it a dua or is it a customary thing, a formality? And for us also, we're just lifting our hands. And in the dua, we are looking at around with one another. Our eyes meet with some friend. We wink eyes also. And even perhaps with our hands we shake. And we are busy with making dua also. And if the imam takes a bit more longer for dua, like the bayan or something, then we're making dua, let him finish his dua. So what kind of dua? And have we got a 1 minute slot for dua? And where is dua? A person who has got one out of iman, he will be immersed in dua. He will know that Allah is the doer. I'm the spoiler. I'm drowning in this in the disobedience of Allah. I'm drowning in na-shukri, unthankfulness of, and I, what can I do? I can't wink my eye. I can't lift my finger, only with the will of Allah Ta'ala. When you know that, then you'll be fully dependent on Allah Ta'ala. How we haven't got even inshallah on our tongues. Whenever we talk also, it's common that we don't have inshallah on our tongues. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we get these values and that we have time for dua and dua for the ummah. These outward difficulties the ummah is facing, for that also. And more for the inward condition, the deeni condition of the ummah. Our own condition is also so weak. We should be making dua. Allah give us tawfiq. Today we wish to speak a bit on the beard, the sunnat beard of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is a great aspect in our deen. For one is, the beard is wajib. And wajib and farz and all these terms did not exist in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. It was afterwards the fuqaha, when they did a great favor on us and the ummah, and they categorized all these different categories. And they declared certain things, we call them faraid, others wajibat, sunnat-e-muakkada, etc. But for the Sahaba, every aspect of deen was, I have to make amal on it. And I can't give up any aspect of deen. And that should be our attitude. This code, the code of fiqh, which has been given to us, is not for us to find excuses and a leeway that this is only nafil, this is not sunnat e muakkada, etc., and that we don't do it. No, that is only for practical purposes. And with regard to that, as far as wajib is concerned and farz is concerned, both I've got this as far as amal, practice is concerned, both are of the same category. This is only as far as the fiqh is concerned. To prove a farz, you need an absolute proof. And when you cannot prove it absolutely, then they declare, and it is, you can see with all the other dalail and the proof, it is most important, then they declare it is wajib. That is only as far as the academic concern and the codification is concerned. But as far as amal, wajib and farz, you can say there is no difference. We have to make amal on both of them. So whether it is the wajib Eid namaz, whether it is wajib qurbani, whether it is wajib our witr namaz, or any other wajib, the wajib of the beard, all this is just like farz. We have to do it. As alhamdulillah, the ummah by and large understand that a person who has got the means of qurbani and all the other conditions, that I have to make qurbani. Like that we should understand, the beard, I have to keep it. How that is important, the beard is also just as important. So the beard, and this is proven from the Quran Sharif also. Like in this ayat, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had given instructions to his brother Harun alayhi salam, when he went and meet Allah and he gave him instructions. And some chaos happened there with Samiri and all those things. And when Musa alayhi salam came back, he was very upset and angry that, oh, what has happened here to my people? I had made so much effort on the iman, and here what has happened? Then he, in his anger, he caught Harun alayhi salam by his beard. لا تأخذ بلحيتي. هارون علیہ السلام said, don't reprimand me, don't take me to task. I was in a difficult condition. But the point here of relevance which we want to make is that he caught him by his beard, another ayat, and in this ayat also, لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا براسي. And in 9 supara, only about the head is mentioned. In Taha, in 16 supara, both are mentioned. Don't catch me by my head. Don't catch me by my beard. So anyway, Allah reward the ulama how they have deduced and what masail they have taken out. Though the subject matter is different, they prove from here that the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam had beards. And it comes in the hadith that of the sunnat of all the Anbiya was the keeping of the beard. That alone shows the importance. Now whether you want to categorize it as wajib or whatever, but when all the Anbiya kept, and the beard they kept was not just a small little beard, but such a beard that don't catch me by my beard. And you catch with your fist when you catch somebody. So the beard was a fist length. That is when you can catch it. If it is just a few hair, you can't go and catch that few hair. And you can't shake the person up by just catching a few hair. It has to be a whole fist length when you catch him. Now you can shake him how you want to. You shake him like that. So it was a fist length. And the wujub of the beard is proven from so many ahadith. And that all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam kept a beard. And so many ahadith command the keeping of the beard. So the beard is a wajib. And the wajib, as far as our practice is concerned, that it is, we have to do it. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Just to give us an idea of how the importance of the beard in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, when those people who had come from Persia, the king of Persia sent them, his policemen, his people, to arrest Na'uzu Billah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Ali, they did not have beards. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam did not even look at them. That because they did not have beards, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam couldn't even look at them. That what kind of people are this that they don't keep beard? And when they told, we have come to arrest you, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, in our words, Allah has arrested your king. Allah has taken him to task already. And then the news came that the king's son killed his father. In Persia there, they came to arrest Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that who is this man that Hijaz, Makkah Sharif, all these places were under them, and they had to pay them taxes. They were controlling. And now he has come to establish his own government. In my government, he has come to establish his government. Whereas the whole world's governments are under the government of Allah. The only government is the government of Allah. And today, that jahiliyyah of that time is still existing today. We think it's our government. And we must be obedient to this government. First, there is no ta'at la ta'at li makhluqin fi ma'asiyati al-khaliq. There is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the creator. There is no obedience of parents, of one's ustad, of one's share, of one's government in the disobedience of Allah. If they command you or they want you to disobey Allah, there is no obedience in there. There first is the command of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand that. So anyway, so how Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam did not even look at them again, that they did not have a beard. Same way we see in the annals of history, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, if somebody would come to become bayat to him and he would not have a beard, Maulana would become so angry and tell him, he actually used to be very harsh and hard, and tell him, get up and get away from here. You haven't got a beard, what you want to become bayat for? Bayat also is not just reformation. Bayat is connection with Allah. You haven't even got a beard, what you want to make connection with Allah? And now when you have made bayat, you will be counted as the murid of the Shaykh. That means in their party and in their group, and you without a beard. So they couldn't tolerate a person without a beard. And Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali should become very angry, very upset with a person who hasn't got a beard. And we saw that we didn't see Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali, but Maulana Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband. He visited us several times here. Once he visited us here, and here in the car park, just when we enter, that first car park, usually we leave that for visitors, especially when they are coming. And he came there and he got off, and there were quite a number of people, ustads of the madrasa, other people who came and meet him. I was quite surprised also, but one person who did not have a beard, and he came and meet Maulana. Maulana first stretched his hand, but when he noticed you haven't got a beard. I won't even make salam with you. Don't stand in front of me. Move away. Today we haven't got that. Today we must be friendly and have peace with everyone. Those who openly break the laws of Allah also have peace with them. And we have peace with a person if he breaks the law of Allah when he makes tawbah. Now he realizes, he regrets. But a person who is adamant on his guna, and you have peace with that person, your own peace is in danger and is in jeopardy. But today, unfortunately, we see that how the condition is. The buzurgs, they show softness for these people, and not just being happy with what their condition. Their softness is how to win them over, how they can come out of this guna of not keeping a beard. So the keeping of the beard is very, very important, a very important aspect of Islam. With regard to that, certain people say when such talks are given, and also very sad, that normally the ulama also we shy away from giving this talk because we fear the repercussion from the people. People will pass remarks that why are you speaking about the beard? Because so many people don't keep the beard. So, and why, and ulama also, you come in the disfavor of the people. If you speak about these things, people don't like you. But these are important. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that I have hope from Allah, that Allah will forgive me just because I have explained the masala of the beard so much in detail. And like in the universities, though that is not our line, but a person gets a PhD, many of Hazrat's murids used to say, Hazrat has got a PhD as far as the beard is concerned. His research and his whole article is, so to say, what they will call their thesis on it. He will get not one PhD, but how many PhDs? How Hazrat used to present this. And Hazrat used to present it frequently and openly. And many people made tawbah and kept their beard. Hazrat Sheikh used to say, amongst the rights of the woman that I have spoken upon, about the guna of the eyes, and about the beard, and the importance of sunnah, I hope from Allah that Allah will forgive me. Inshallah, Allah will give Hazrat very, very high stages. And these are the jihad of our time also. The jihad bil lisan, to speak about these things. And many of us, we feel shy and we keep away from speaking about the beard. So anyway, when we speak, many people say the way you always carry on as though the whole of Islam is only in the beard. That beard is everything. So that is definitely not the case. Islam is vast, vast. The beard is a very important part. The whole of Islam is not in the beard. But the beard is part of completion of your Islam and your Iman. The beard is fully in Islam. That you don't keep a beard and you still you feel you're a Muslim, the beard is fully in Islam. Whole of Islam is not in the beard, but the full beard, the full sunnah beard is fully in Islam. And it has to be there. So Allah give us the tawfiq to understand. And the purpose of Hazrat's talk was, one side, the wujub, that you have to keep a beard. And why we speak about it is when I heard from Hazrat that Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that a person whose beard is one hair's breadth less than what it's supposed to be, the guna is the same as not keeping a beard. So we find many of our friends, even ulama, pious people, they have got their beard, but because it is not fully how it has to be, just because of a little bit of it being less, then the guna is like you kept no beard. Also, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and Hazrat has written a whole kitab, Wujub-e Dari, that to keep the beard, it is compulsory, that we must keep the beard. And all very important, if I'm not mistaken, it's translated in English also. We should try and get a copy and read it for ourselves also, even if we have got full beard. But to that we can speak to other people and we can explain. And this is a topic, many of us feel happy that the ulama don't speak, and now what are they doing? Am I speaking about it? Even if I'm not an alim, I don't speak from the mimbar, I don't speak from in front, but in my circles, how many people I meet, did I ever even get the idea, I must tell him to keep a beard. Or how can I approach this person? How can I tell him? We are very worried they'll get offended. If there's a snake there, we won't feel offended that he's laughing, joking, and we tell him that, watch out, there's a snake there. And I'm upsetting his conversation. And he's laughing and enjoyment, having a bride, and all the environment which is there at that time. And all, everyone mixing, man, woman also, music also, talking, laughing. And then you see a snake, and you say, I can't tell them about the snake. I'll upset them. But for the beard, that we feel so bad about it. Our values have changed. We got the value that the snake, there's a fire that's starting. There's a whole big bribe carrying on. Or there's a marriage or something in a hall, and all the wrong is taking place. And you see a spark of a fire by a plug point. And you say that, now I can't upset. No, we will say it. But all are breaking Allah's laws. To us also it means nothing really. Or at the most, it's just a thought that it's wrong what they're doing. Or just in our own circles, we'll come home and then we'll give big, big lectures what they can't hear. And they were doing this and they did that also, and worse than that, this also. But where we had to sit, we are worse than mice also. And a mu'min has to speak wherever it is. Not that we only speak in our minds, we are speaking. And we're running down the people all the time. And in our circles, then we are speaking. And we're converting the converted all the time. And who we have to get the message to, then we are like mice in front of them. There we don't speak one word. So in our circles also, where we can, our friends, who we are so close to, we utna baithna unke saath, we wake up and sleep with them, we go for parties with them, we go for sports and fishing with them, but we don't tell them one day in our life, we never tell them about the beard. About some business opportunity, we told them a lot, that invest here, do this, watch in your business this year, everything, that we'll talk a lot, but about the beard, and we'll find fault with the ulama don't talk about this. It's not only the wajib of the ulama, it is, we also should be speaking about these things. So whoever we can, we should tell them. And how serious and how sad it is that a person kept a beard his whole life. He is convinced I got a beard. And when the subject of the beard comes out anywhere, he is also happy I've got a beard. But if it is little bit less, then it is like no beard. So with regard to that, what Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, that the word beard in Arabic, lahyatun, and in Urdu, Gujarati also, dari. So the word lahya and dari, it is jaw, and refers to the lower jaw. So if you open your mouth and you feed your lower jaw, all that part has to be covered with the beard. Where your lower jaw goes right here also to the bottom also. All right to the bottom. So all that part, so the coverage of the area of the beard is that where the lower jaw is. To understand it more easier is from where the two lips meet. and going up to the front of the sideburn, where our hair on the side grows, the front of it, on that area, that is all part of the beard. This is the front. Then at the bottom, you can feel your jaw, all that. Now the hair on your throat, the hair that grows. Hazrat explained that also so beautifully, and all this we got is from Hazrat. Allah Ta'ala increased Hazrat's stages, how he explained and how he made us understand and drummed it into us. Allah reward Hazrat. Once Maulana Muhammad Gardi Sahib, the Ahmed Barakatuh of White River, said, I haven't seen a man, a buzurg, that when he's on the mimbar he's speaking of deen, out when he comes off there, he's still talking. When he's sitting and eating, he's still talking about. When he's sitting with his friends, still he goes and sleeps. And I haven't seen somebody who repeats himself so much on the subject. And that can be only when you are so convinced, and it's your passion, it's your food. In fact, once in Mauritius, Hazrat was there with, there was a Jamaat of South Africa also, and they came there to meet Hazrat. And Hazrat was speaking to them after Fajr. And Hazrat was carrying on. Then Mir Sahib came and he said, breakfast is ready. Hazrat didn't pay any attention. When he came two or three times, Hazrat became very angry. He said, I'm giving Ruhani breakfast, spiritual. And you telling me about this breakfast? This is so important. But for us, when we just forget, we just see the person is coming to say, and we'll immediately, wa akhiru da'wana. But Hazrat was a complete different man, and Allah's great ihsan on us, he gave us opportunity to be with Hazrat. Such a man that once Allah put it on my tongue, which Hazrat and all Hazrat friends, Mir Sahib, enjoyed and appreciated very much. I said that Hazrat was a man of the time of Maulana Rum, Rahmatullah. That means 800 years ago. And then when the caravan was going towards Jannah, they thought that our friends will come after 800 years. Who will bring them also? So they chose Hazrat. He's a man of that time. But it shows him that you stay back and you bring our friends who will be of that time. Yeah. Hazrat was a man of that caliber. So anyway, Hazrat explained, so that is the area. Yeah, as far as on the throat is concerned, Hazrat gave this beautiful example that if there are two armies fighting and the soldier of one army, he defects and he goes to the other army, then he is a traitor and he must be shot in the back. So the hair that grows towards the beard, they are the loyal hair. And the hair that goes away from the beard, they have defected. So to shave off that hair, remove that hair, it is permissible. But the hair that stays towards the beard, don't remove that. And the best is not to touch the hair at the bottom. Leave it. It's very seldom it grows down. Just like that also. Just thought of it. The baby beard. Hazrat explained the full details of the baby beard also. This is a baby beard and it's called a baby beard because whole life it remains a baby. It doesn't grow up. It's always just a small little baby beard. And the baby beard, the hukam, the ruling of the baby beard is that don't cut it also. Leave it, it's a baby. And how beautifully Hazrat explained, you'll find always it happens, your baby will come when you are eating, and there's a mouth, something in your mouth, a sweet, whatever, and the child will put a finger in your mouth. Now you won't bite the child's finger. That why you putting your finger in my mouth, I'll bite your finger off. Now you'll take out and you'll give him the sweet also. And also from there, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Pananpuri, Rahmatullah, explained that we understand from this, what rosy is meant for you, it will definitely come to you and it's yours. And what is not meant for you, forget it being somewhere else in the world. Forget it being on the dasturkhan. You looked at that wonderful piece of meat in the platter, and I'm going to take it before you could, somebody else took it. And it's taken away. In fact, one very pious person, he did not eat with his mother. And he says the reason is that perhaps what she wanted, piece of meat or anything, and I take it and it will hurt her. For that reason, he didn't sit and eat with his mother also. Just that I mustn't cause her that pain in her heart also. So this is the things to be considered. So anyway, the baby beard. So it remains a baby whole life. So don't cut it off also. Remain it. And Hazrat is to say, this usually babies are very stubborn, obstinate. When they want something, they want it. And they will demand it. But this beard is very, very sweet. When it does come up into your mouth, and now I say I want to cut it out, when it's coming up in my mouth. So just take some oil or just take some water and just rub it a little, it comes down immediately. It's very obedient. It's not stubborn and obstinate that it will just stay up. So the baby beard must be kept also. It is also a wajib to keep the baby beard. It won't grow up. It won't become baligh. It will remain a baby all the time. But it must be kept also. And it keep it in the proper way. So anyway, that's the area of the beard. Then the length of the beard. To understand that, let us just understand a little bit the opposite. One is, many people unfortunately keep what is called a goatee. That is just on the chin, like a goat's beard. And who wants to be like a goat? And when they call you a goat, and somebody speaks bad about the beard, you look like a goat, because you kept a goatee. You kept a beard like a goat. So don't keep a goatee. The other is that some people, which is commonly called the French beard, just a line on the side. And they also feel, I got a beard, I've got my beard, so it's just a little bit. Or the beard, which is called the Arab beard, it covers the required area. The required area is covered, but it's not the first length. It's just perhaps a centimeter or so, just a little bit, just to cover the area. And many of the ulama, especially the Shafi ulama, they give wrong views of Imam Shafi. And they also say that from a certain distance you can see a person got a beard, that is sufficient. Now the beard, according to the sunnah, is a first length. That should be the beard. And this all applies to those people whose beard grows. If somebody's beard does not grow, then of course he is excused. And also a great thing that when a person realizes I must keep a beard, and he makes tawbah. Like for example, now if we are sitting here, somebody's beard, he is not keeping a beard, or he is keeping it, but not full as required, and as soon as he makes tawbah, he is out of the guna. Though his beard doesn't grow now immediately, it will take its time to grow, but he is out of the guna. Though he is now without still a beard, and for this reason also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to stress a lot that never disgrace and humiliate the people of guna. We don't know, they might have made tawbah and they've become waliullah already. Just like tawbah, your outside condition is still full of guna. But you have become waliullah already. In that also, just a few points that we should try and keep in mind, how shaitan plays havoc with us. Today a person, he keeps young people especially all, keep long, long hair, fashion hair. But what they call it? Zulfa. We keeping zulfa. So all their whole life sunnat is only in that zulfa. You don't see any other sunnat. No beard also. But so zulfa I must keep. But the beard which is wajib, that we are not keeping. Person wearing torn jeans. Fully is wearing it for fashion. You tell him, it's a sunnat to wear torn clothes. And wear patched jeans. And you tell him it's sunnat to wear patched clothes. All the wrong things we do, and wearing Bermudas, you must keep your trouser well above your ankle. How shaitan is playing havoc, and we are messing up our deen, our akhirah, messing up our dunya also. So anyway, so there's various types of beard. So the beard must be a first length. And then a first length, Allah reward Hazrat, how he explained all this in detail. The first length must be from under the chin. You must measure your first. When you want to trim your beard, which must be done from time to time, because it grows. On that also, if you don't trim your beard and you let it grow, Hazrat says, once he gave a bayan in Bombay, and there was a Haji Sahab whose beard had grown right till his navel. And then when he used to go for his istinja, he had to put his beard under his armpit. Otherwise the beard will become napak while he's making his istinja also. So don't keep such a long beard also. Keep a sunnat beard. The sunnat beard is not less than a first length, and it's not more than a first length. A little bit for safety's sake is permitted, is allowed. But not so long, right till like till the navel. You keep your beard. That is also not sunnah. So you, when you want to trim your beard, when it's time to trim it from time to time, then measure it from under your chin and your own first. Don't call your two-year-old child and say, Beta, I have to now trim my beard. Come, let me measure if it's a first length. Now, he's small first. And what that you measuring? And you say, I kept a first length beard. That should not be the case. And also, that when you want to trim your beard, don't stretch it beyond its limit. So much so that, just normal. Just put your hand and see what is extra. Allow a little bit so that you haven't gone inside your boundary, a little bit, and you cut it. And the first length must be at the bottom also, below the chin. And it must be on the sides also. And this also, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain so beautifully, Allah's fazl, that our beards don't grow at our hair or like this. If it was, and we had to go to our wife, she should also get frightened. Which monster is this now? And who is here now? So it grows down. But when you have to trim it, then you take it and you measure it with the first. It must be a first length this side also. On all three sides, it must be a first length. And what is extra, that you cut. Allowing a little bit, just a little bit for safety's sake, like that. And there are three rules Hazrat explained very beautifully about the beard also. The one is taghsil. That is, you must wash it. From regularly, wash the beard also. Then tadheen, put oil in the beard also. And then tashmeet, comb the beard also. Don't just let it be white. Manana, Masihullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali used to be very particular. The sunnat is beautiful. Keep it in a beautiful way. Don't make it look like people don't like it. That it's untidy. It's a, what the word for an unkept beard? That you don't keep it properly. There's a word that just wildly you just keep it. Keep it properly. There's much more detail. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So Allah give us tawfiq to keep the beard, to encourage other people also, not to fight with them, but to encourage them, and also that we make sure our beards are full according to sunnah. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah. This weekend will be the monthly majalis. On Friday night in Homestead Park. When is it? After? After Isha. And then on Saturday, quarter past 7 to quarter past 8. And on Sunday, Yawmul Ahad, from half past 10 till Zohar, and lunch after Zohar, inshallah.